And good morning. The article that I came across this morning is called Beverage Consumption and Mortality Among Adults with Type 2 Diabetes. It's a prospective cohort study, and it was published in the British Medical Journal, 2023, April the 19th, so it's fresh, hot off the presses. Good morning. My name is Dr. Morgan. This is Health Essentials. It's a program about, let me see, what is this about? That's right. It's about how you can help yourself. And the reason that I bring some of these topics up is because what if you could help yourself without using a chemical that would have side effects? Well, that's where you enter with natural health or natural healing. And so I'd like to discuss things that are doable and that everyone can benefit from. So here's what the writer of the abstract says. I'm not trying to make fun, but it's kind of comical the way he says this. He says diabetics who are so anxious about the future that they want to die as soon as possible could try increasing their daily intake of soft drinks. I realize he's trying to be funny there, so don't take offense. And then he goes on to write, diabetics, on the other hand, who would like to experience the better times ahead, should avoid soft drinks and drink plain water instead, or tea, or coffee. Okay, here it is right here. Harvard University epidemiologists published a study in the British Medical Journal in which they followed 15,486 men and women that had type 2 diabetes for an average of 18 years. So, 18 years, huh? Okay, well, I wonder what the results were. Okay, data were collected in the Nurses' Health Study and the Health Professionals' Follow-Up Study, so that's men and women. The study participants had completed questionnaires about their dietary habits. The researchers tried to find a link between the intake of beverages and the risk of death. During that period they were followed, 49.3% of the study participants died. Man, that does not sound like a good number. That's 50%, basically. Well, if I round it up, it is. So here's the results. Soft drinks that were sweetened with sugar, and you know what I'm talking about. It's either regular sugar cane sugar or it's high fructose corn syrup or something that's almost identical. That's what increased the risk of death. They said that, and I'm just reading what it says here. It says the risk of low-calorie soft drinks with artificial sweeteners had no effect on the risk of death. Now, that's related to diabetes. Okay, I get it. That doesn't mean you run out there and get a diet soft drink and start consuming them unless you want to have other problems. They say consumption of water, coffee, and tea therefore was shown to reduce the risk of death. So there's a positive benefit just from drinking water. Does that make sense? Okay. Let me see. No, I'm skipping that. These charts are like too detailed. But what it does show is the more soft drinks that have sugar in them, the quicker you're going to exit walking the earth. That means you're going to be buried and underwater. Okay. It says water reduces the risk of cardiovascular death. I would agree with that. I saw an individual recently, they were downright hallucinating and sick as a dog just because of one thing, severe dehydration. It's bad. They go on to say that coffee and tea without added sugar may be healthy because it actually contains these compounds called polyphenols, and those have been shown to have a very positive effect on a person's health. Regular consumption of coffee may significantly reduce systemic inflammation, write the researchers. In particular, cholinergic acid, which has been found, that's found in coffee, by the way, it's been shown to delay intestinal glucose uptake and inhibit hepatic gluconeogenesis. That means coffee might actually have a positive benefit in somebody that's diabetic by lowering the available sugar that floods into the bloodstream. Then they go on to tea. Tea is also a good source of polyphenols, especially catechins, which bear antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. It says also that catechins can also modulate several key genes in the triacetylglycerol biosynthesis, which that is a mouthful. The tea also may protect the pancreatic beta cells and improve cellular oxidative reduction state. Anyway, I know that's too wordy there. But you see, there's a positive study that if you drink tea and water and a little bit of coffee, that actually has health-promoting benefits to it. I know it's like a shock to you that soft drinks aren't the bomb when it comes to improving health. They're not. Okay. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Now, this next one, this is interesting also, because I come across this situation quite frequently. The title of the article is Fruit Intake and Abdominal Aortic Calcification in Elderly Women. Let's go to the phone lines first, and I'll come back to this one, okay? Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today, sir?
Doing pretty good. I have a question for my daughter. She's going to be 16 next week, and she's got a rash that she says she's had for about a year in the inside fold of both of her arms.
Okay.
It's a reddish rash, and it's she said it doesn't itch.
Is she taking any drugs of any kind?
Not that I know of, other than she's been treating acne for probably at least a year with some kind of cream.
Okay, but she's not taking an oral medication called Accutane or tetracycline or anything like that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, usually when there's a rash inside the fold of the arm, right there inside the elbow, that's almost always a food allergy. It doesn't have to be, but that's what I think of first. So okay. whatever the circumstances are in her diet and her life, there's probably something she's eating that doesn't react real well. If I can, let me go to the acne just for a second. I have two or three points to make, and I'll come back to the rash inside the arm.
Okay.
Back at the very start of World War II, they instituted a really heavy-duty rationing system for Americans. You know, the people that stayed here and they worked in the factories and the farmers grew food and cattlemen raised cattle. But anyway, you get what I'm saying is they had to stay here while we sent the vast majority of all our precious resources overseas so our troops could live to fight another day. And so what they did was they sent sugar over there and they sent probably lots of cigarettes and chewing gum and candy and chocolate, just incredible amounts of chocolate was shipped over there.
Right.
Well, when you look at the studies, almost all the dermatologists just completely went out of business once girls stopped consuming chocolate back in World War II. And so I can't even tell you how many women I've seen their skin just totally clear up when they stop consuming chocolate or... And this is the point I'm getting to. Do you know what homogenized, pasteurized milk is?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That one is a big one when it comes to rashes inside the elbows. Or it's one that I've seen over and over again. So if we just go back and maybe take a look at what she's eating, maybe she could not have chocolate or dairy products for about 2 weeks to see if all this just mysteriously clears up and goes away. Because rashes inside the fold of the arms tells me that something is not agreeable to the gut and the immune system. Or at least that's what my thought process would be.
Well, all of my girls are addicted to chocolate, I can tell you that. I have my wife and three girls.
Sir, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Do you understand women?
I've been trying to. I've been married now almost over 20 years.
Then you're pretty much an expert when it comes to women, aren't you?
Well, you know, my wife is Ukrainian. We're the missionaries.
Oh, I don't know if
you remember me or not.
Yeah, well, I do now that you, because I think you sent me a picture one time of what the supermarket looks like.
Uh-huh.
Where they have fresh carrots and onions that still have dirt on them from the fields.
Right, everything is organic there, and you can buy raw milk in the grocery store. So.
Oh, wow. Now, are you in the States right now, or are you in Ukraine as we speak?
I'm in the States right now, but I have to come back to do just got our income taxes and tax returns done. I have to come back and do that.
But are you going to head back afterwards?
Pretty quick, because we've got... Go ahead.
What part of the country do you live in?
Well, we... last year, you know, when the war started, we were in the Ukraine, and we evacuated to Slovakia for 6 months, and then...
Is that a neighboring country?
Yes, it's okay. It's right next... It's one of the neighboring countries. And then after 6 months, our sponsor said, we're done helping you. So we went back just across the border. We're in Lutsk, a city called Lutsk, and it's very close to the Polish border.
So it's really, it's far west.
Oh, yeah. We're okay. Right on the edge of the west, because I didn't want to go any further into the interior in case we need to evacuate again, which we've already about half evacuated to Poland with my younger children. And
what do you think is going to happen in the Ukraine? Give me your best estimation.
I don't know. Russia's not going to give up. I know Russia's not going to give up, and I know Ukraine's not going to give up.
So. What would you say is the Russians' main motivation for being in the Ukraine right now? What's their reason?
To stop the West, to stop NATO.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a horrific mess, isn't it?
It is. It sure is. And see, my middle daughter, she's going to be 16 next week. She's in Lutsk, and she didn't want to go yet to Poland because she wanted to finish school. She's got 3 weeks.
Oh, boy. And bless her heart.
And then my middle son, who's 18, he's finishing a technical school that he's been going to for years. So he's getting ready to graduate from that.
Is that in the Ukraine or is it somewhere else?
It's in the Ukraine, yes, sir.
What's his technical skill going to be? What does he train?
He writes code. He's a computer programmer.
Okay. Well, that's pretty useful in today's world, isn't it?
I suppose.
Well, I know you can.
I'm an old guy. I'm from the old school. You know, rotary dial phones.
You mean you can survive without computer code? You could just put your finger in the dial and dial the number.
That's what I grew up on. You know, we had one phone in the house, and it was up too high for me to reach. You know, but it was probably
a party line too. You had to share it with neighbors.
No, I didn't have a party line in the U.S., but I had party line in the Ukraine when I first went.
How about
1993,
that?
Yeah. Lots of party lines there.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll be in a situation in the near future where we go back to rotary phones and we don't need computer code. How about that?
I think so. It may go back to the string between two cans.
You know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for all the highly innocent people that have no... They have no skin in the game when it comes to conflict. They just want to live, they want to be at peace, and they want to be productive to help the world become a better place, but there's probably endless amount of children and sweet old grandma types that are suffering horribly, among other people that are suffering. I just hate it.
Yeah. Millions have evacuated. They say over 3 million, and I'm thinking probably closer to 5 or 6 million, maybe more.
You're probably right.
And half a million went to Slovakia, and we ministered to the Ukrainian refugees in Slovakia for 6 months, and then we're back. But now we're helping out in Poland, where we are in Poland.
Well, you just find a way to be useful wherever you are, aren't you?
Well, the Lord has done so much for me. I just, you know, I dedicated my life to the Lord, went back when I was young, and just whatever he wants me to do, I do. He just opened the doors, you know, back when the Soviet Union fell apart, to go into the Ukraine. And actually, I was invited to teach the Bible in one of the universities there in Kiev, in the capital. And then a couple of years later, I met my wife there. My wife's Ukrainian. I tell folks I colluded with the Ukrainians, not the Russians. You know.
You know what? You sure did, didn't you?
Yeah, in fact, we colluded so well, we have 6 children.
Oh, well, that's fabulous. I'm so happy for you. Going back to your daughter just for a brief second, because I know that's why you called for. Sorry, diving off into other topics. But anyway, if she wants the rash to go away and her skin to clear up, if she could just give up chocolate and dairy from a cow for about 3 weeks, see if that does it. The other things you do when you're trying to heal the skin is you start eating organic oatmeal. Oatmeal and mushrooms contain beta-glucans. And what that does is it helps the cells of your skin retain moisture, because you're always going to be at highest risk for blemishes on your skin when your skin is slightly dehydrated. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's impossible to become dehydrated. Well, not in America it's not, because you could fill your body with stuff like soft drinks or fruit juice. I don't know that really hydrates your body.
Even the diet soft drinks are loaded heavy with salt.
Well, they have chemicals in them that probably, there's no way you could have been in contact with these chemicals until modern times.
Right.
I don't even know how many people I've seen with neurological problems like tics, depression, memory loss, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, just from consumption of artificial sweeteners like aspartame and Splenda, sucralose.
Right.
That's pretty toxic stuff.
Doesn't that send a signal to your brain to store fat?
Well, in a roundabout way, the answer is yes every single time. So, for example, if a person drinks a diet soda instead of a glass of water, the net intake of extra calories is about 425 calories more per day than if they had not. So in a roundabout way, you're totally right. It sends a signal to the brain to eat more food.
Mm-hmm.
I think it increases like neuropeptide Y and other markers of inflammation. But the more inflamed you are, the more you want to eat.
Exactly. So my daughter's rash is going to be more likely a food, something she's eating.
Well, that's just, I mean, unless you give me other information. If she, if you told me she had lots of diarrhea, I might start thinking about some type of parasite that she's picked up. But right now, I have to go with the body is just triggering an immune response. And when it happens inside the fold of the elbows or the crease of the arm, that's almost always something that you're eating that doesn't agree with you.
Well, chocolate is a big, big thing in the Ukraine. And in fact, the former president, Poroshenko, he is the Willy Wonka of the Ukraine. His company is called Roshen, from Poroshenko, and chocolate confections.
And, so how do you say Willy Wonka in Ukrainian?
Willy Wonka, probably.
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, probably. But
man, you have taught me some valuable information today. Thanks.
But I know, because I've invested invested quite a bit over the years in that company as far as buying chocolate from our...
You mean you take your hard-earned money and you buy chocolate for your daughters?
Well, I give them money for needful things, and then they run and buy chocolate with it, I think.
Well, that's probably normal for a kid, isn't it?
And they're not, my daughters, I can guarantee you my daughter is not eating, 70 or 80%, cacao chocolate. She's eating the stuff that's loaded probably with sugar.
Well, all you can do is just put, well, it's probably what's called milk chocolate.
Exactly.
Like a Hershey's Kiss, a candy bar,
Lots of sugar in it.
Well, they might actually be more sugar than they are chocolate. How about that?
I agree with you. That's probably, Dr. Morgan, that's probably going to be the thing. And when I tell her no more chocolate, she's going to probably cry.
Now, just remember, you got to blame everything on me. I'll be the bad cop and you be the good cop. That way you look good and say, sweetheart, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is Dr. Morgan is an evil ogre that's telling me to stop the chocolate. That way you look like a hero.
No, I only tell them good things about you.
Is there any chance that your daughter may marry a Ukrainian Willy Wonka one day?
I don't know. They're all serving the Lord. They're dedicated to the Lord, and
I had heard long before this war started that there was a tremendous revival in the growth of Christianity in the Ukraine. Was that true prior to the war?
That is true, and it's even stronger now.
Isn't that something? The more stress.
Our home church in Lutsk, over the winter, even on the coldest days when it was, 0 degrees Fahrenheit, the church was packed out and probably runs about 3,500.
Oh, my word. What was the temperature inside the meeting place?
Oh, it was probably a nice 60 degrees.
But still,
nice,
that's like
60.
That, well, that's almost swimming shorts weather, isn't it? Man,
yes,
so 0 degrees doesn't stop anybody from coming to worship God and learn more about His Word.
And the war is having its effect. People are more motivated to pray, and in a lot of cases, their boys are in the army and on the front. So there's lots of motivation to pray these days.
Yes, y'all have lots of people to pray for, don't you?
Yes, sir. We sure do.
Is there anything that we can do to help?
Just keep praying for us. And
is there a specific prayer that you would ask believers to pray for the people of the Ukraine?
That God would bring everybody, to salvation. Most important,
even the invading army,
to give us wisdom how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good prayer. I really appreciate
answer,
your phone
you know.
Call. But yes, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless you.
God bless you. All right. Thank you very much for your call. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the air this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Sometimes I kind of catch myself praying and asking God to thwart the plans of those that practice evil and protect the innocent people that have nothing to do with this horrific brutality. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. This is your friend Orban, Pasadena Kid.
The Pasadena Kid? I haven't heard from you in a coon's age.
It was so good to hear about from that man from Ukraine. We went over there and opened up an orphanage in memory of my wife's mother, and I'll never forget that experience going over there.
Was it one of those towns that's no longer in Ukraine?
Well, it was a little near a little town called Chop. Actually, that's not the proper name, but it referred to as Chop.
Mm-hmm. What part of the country is that in?
Oh, goodness. It's been a few years now, and I couldn't tell you just exactly. I know we went through, we went from Budapest, and we took the train, went into the Ukraine, and in the night, passing all these sniper booths and everything, going to these old train stations, and it was just like spooky in the middle of the night with all the murals up on the wall with bandits.
No doubt.
Russia was just like intimidating everybody with whatever they could put up.
Has anything changed?
I hadn't really kept up too much with it, but I sure have been praying for those people because of the fact that, I spent 20 years in Alaska, and I thought, dear God, those people are going through power outages, but they're real crafty. They were making wood stoves, but I just couldn't imagine how, except for the power of God working in their lives, how they could survive sub-zero weather without the amenities we have.
Did you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can ask or even imagine?
Absolutely, yes. Every day I thank Him for that.
Isn't it interesting what the gentleman said, that the church is stronger now than what it was prior to the war?
And that's what we keep hearing, too, and we here in the U.S. just don't really grasp that.
Well, we would if there was a major catastrophe somewhere, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would. We'd have to.
And it would probably be a blessing from God. I know that's hard for somebody to hear, but that's just the way it is. When there's such good time when people are just addicted to good times and pleasure all the time, they don't know what suffering and doing without is.
We don't know what suffering is, do we?
No, we don't. How would you like to live in North Korea right now?
Oh, golly. I go to the JAMA every Thursday. I go out to the JAMA Southern Korean Ministry for a prayer time we have out there at the old... Remember Keith Green and Last Days Ministry?
I don't, but go ahead.
Well, that's the JAMA, the Southern Korean Ministry, got that property right over here near me at Garden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith Green was a minister that could fill 60,000 people. I don't remember how many, but like in Chicago, he'd fill a convention center, one man and a keyboard. And he could just minister. And he was a very, very instrumental. God was really using him. And then he died in a plane crash right down the road from me here with, I believe, four of his children and a total of nine of his staff. But he did a whole lot of good during the time he was here.
Could you imagine Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? How did people hear him without a microphone?
Yeah.
But they did, didn't they?
Well, as an auctioneer, it's always amazed me how you can do that without a PA system.
Now, if you're an auctioneer and you look at me and I bat my eye because I'm swatting a fly, does that mean I just bid on something?
You know what we love to do with Dr. Morgan? Have a daddy carrying his little boy, little girl through the audience, and I'm sitting there auctioneering. All of a sudden, they raise their hand, and I say, okay, I got that bid. And they keep going to your dad. Put his hand down. Put your hand down.
Get your hands down, kids. We bought a 72 Cadillac.
We know who's bidding, but we sure have to.
I know, but that's a lot of fun. That's got to be a blast doing that, isn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it is. Well, let me ask you a question. I was under my horse up here a couple of weeks ago and have never had a back problem. Now I'm having severe back problems.
Well, why don't you go to a chiropractor?
Well, I went to the walk-in urgent care in Lindale the other day, and they took x-rays, and they couldn't see any bulging discs. They couldn't see any pinched nerves, and they couldn't ascertain as to what was causing this. And don't I remember one time you were talking about other problems that were indicated by back hurting?
Yeah, but your story is you were under the horse, which means you may have been at a mechanical disadvantage, and after that, that's when your problem started, right?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was under my horse trimming hooves. That's what I meant.
Does that mean you were bent over with a hoof between your knees as you were working on them?
Yeah, and I had no problem doing that. I've never had a back problem.
But afterwards, that's when the back problem began, right?
And this just started a few days ago, and it's really radiating and really giving me problems.
Well, at the very least, you probably either sprained or strained something. You really did.
But so they told...
What about they?
Oh, they trying to get a appointment for a physician. I hadn't been in years. They were like saying, oh, you can't get anything up until June. And I said, how am I going to survive all that time? Boy, this is hurting me.
Well, you know, you have no problem trimming the horse's hoof, so it has a good, reliable gait. Why don't you go to a chiropractor and let them straighten you out?
People have been suggesting that to me.
I know it's a radical, radical idea, given your circumstances, isn't it?
Well, the things I've gotten, I'm not opposed to it. My dear bride, when she was living, she had scoliosis, and she was a regular attendant to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never used one. And
well, it wouldn't hurt to think about it, because you might walk out straight again and no pain.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, though, that I wonder if this is actually due to what a chiropractor can help me with, or it's the indication of something else they hadn't discovered.
Well, I'm going to go with you were trimming the horse's hooves, trying to clean them up and repair them and get them in good working order, and after that event, that's when your back started killing you. Is that right?
No, sir. I was just referring to I've never had a problem with my back.
So the horse has nothing to do with it, right?
Right, yeah.
So what happened? Did you go to bed feeling fine but wake up with it?
Yeah, this happened months later.
Oh, and I didn't pick up on that. Please forgive me.
Oh, that's okay.
I thought it was a different storyline.
No, I just missed
it. Imagine that, me not interpreting something properly. That's first time it's ever happened to me.
No, I'm teasing. That as an example, you know. I never had.
Yeah, I can bend over and trim horse hooves, and it's never been a problem.
Right.
Well, I mean, the ball's in your court. I think it's a lot more simple than what you're making it, though. But, I mean, you won't know unless somebody examines you. So you've got one system of health care, and it says, well, we can't find a bulging disc. We don't see a pinched nerve. There's no reason for this. But you're telling them, then why is this killing me? Why am I hurting? It's obvious. Yep. Something is not right. So pain is there for a reason. It's there to warn you and alert you that there's a problem. But just decide if you want to or not. I can't force you to go against your will, but if you went to a chiropractor, you could say, hey, what do you think the problem is? It ought to be pretty straightforward. They can check out the muscles. They can look at the ligaments. They can check all the tendons. They can put you through all the orthopedic tests to pinpoint where the problem's coming from. Maybe you have just a jammed facet, which is real common. If somebody has a jammed facet, usually pain goes down their leg to the knee, and it's hard to straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell?
Is
it easy for you to bend over and raise back up?
Not now.
Well, that may be a jammed facet then, and a chiropractor can just set that sucker free.
Yeah. The only reluctance I have going to a chiropractor, because my wife was so faithful in doing that, is the fact that you may not like this, but they say once you go to a chiropractor, you don't ever stop. You keep going.
Well, you know, and I hear what you're saying on that, but it doesn't have to be that way because you have the right to vote. So if you go in there and it fixes you and there's no reason to go back, don't go back.
Yeah.
Fine by me. I'm not the least bit offended because I see the other end of the spectrum where a chiropractor might say, I need you to give me $25 million in advance. This is going to take 1 million visits, and there's no refunds. Well, I don't like that approach either. How does he know that one adjustment is not all it takes?
Yeah.
So you're completely entitled to make a comment like that, but it may be such a simple, easy fix that afterwards you go, why didn't I go sooner?
Well, I do receive your kind suggestion, and I have considered it.
Or I could back over your spine with a dually pickup to see if I could straighten it out that way.
I've heard about people laying on inversion tables and on...
Totally.
Stuff like that.
And you know what? I ask every person that has an inversion device, I say, what do you think about that? They go, oh my goodness, if I do this for 2 minutes a day, my back pain's completely gone. So they do work. It helps distract and pull apart the swollen, inflamed disc and vertebra.
That's interesting to hear.
Or we could have a large giant hold you up by your ankles and shake you really hard until they work all the kinks out. Hey, there's a rack. We could put you on a rack like medieval times, couldn't we?
Well, I used to climb up on the old top rail when I was a young man and balance up there, and I'm not kidding you, there's something about doing that on my back, laying on the top rail, keep from falling off, balancing.
Yeah.
It made my back feel better.
Well, that's just one of the old techniques. What do you think happened to somebody 150 years ago if they injured their back? They still went out in the field and they worked every day because that was the difference between living through the winter and the springtime or dying.
Absolutely.
So you could easily start doing home stretches. You can go onto YouTube right now and you could type in, what stretches do I do for severe back pain? And that's your starting point right there.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that more. I'm going to be looking into doing that because this severe pain, when they told me a first appointment I could get would be like in June, I said, I don't know if I can live that long with this pain.
Well, I recommend that you take charge of this and start doing something today. And what you could do is you could get on the ground and you could stretch about 20 times today just for about a minute or two each. And move as much as you can, that you can grab your clothesline bar and hang from it. Stretch out your back.
Yeah, I need to just keep working that back and see if I can figure out something.
And there's one more thing that's really critical here. All those really heavy nuggets of gold that you found in the river, I'm going to come to your place and take that heavy burden off of you and do you a huge favor.
I want to take you to Alaska with me sometime.
Hey, it would be a lot of fun, even if we found nothing. It'd be an experience of a lifetime, wouldn't it?
I've had a lot of friends said, Orvin, what you've told me, and I believe you're serious, you know where gold is, I'd like to go up there with you, even if we didn't find an ounce of gold, just for the experience of the wilderness where you live.
Now, how many times were you surrounded by a pack of wild timber wolves?
Never was, but I was in my wall tent out on my trap line one time, and I had not taken my dog team. I was using my snow machine to set in trails, and you know the disadvantage, one of the disadvantages of the snow machine, they don't bark when wolves come in. Friends,
I would take it back. That's a faulty warranty if it doesn't bark when a wolf approaches.
Yeah, right. But yeah, dog teams, they'll let you know the wolves are coming up. Boy, when they come up within just a little area from where you are in that wall tent and start howling, that sends your hair standing up.
You mean the hair on the back of your neck stood up?
Yeah. Yeah, the wolves come up and start howling right outside your wall tent. You know, you think, oh, man. Just thank God it's not one of those bears that hadn't hibernated yet, don't have enough fat to hibernate, and that causes...
Those guys could be a little bit hungry, couldn't they?
Yeah, they're troublesome bears that don't have enough fat to hibernate yet. They're still out. You still see the tracks in the snow, and you're out there.
Mm. You would be just a snack for them.
Right. I better get off.
All right. Have a good day, and I wish you the best, man.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
You're welcome. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open, 903-586-5257, in case you want to call and ask a question. Let's go to the phone lines here, okay? All righty. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm calling regarding my mom, an 87-year-old with macular degeneration. And, of course, the only thing the doctors have to offer is the shots in the eye, ILEA shots in the eye. And she doesn't want to do that anymore. And I was doing some reading, and they said that sometimes that can be caused by a problem with the complement cascade in our bodies. Do you know anything about that?
I know about the complement system and the inflammatory cascade, yes.
Yes.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you know how we can improve that for her?
Well, I'm going to try to overly simplify all this if I can.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to consider for a moment that when a person is 87 years of age, they probably don't exactly have the best arterial system of creating blood flow and oxygen nutrients to their brain cells. Does that sound plausible to you?
Oh, yeah.
And so the point that I'm building toward is as people age, it's very, very common to find that they have microvascular disease. And so what you have is you have a bit of dementia and memory loss because they just can't process the information because they can't get the blood flow and the nutrients and the oxygen to the brain. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so the number one reason, and I realize I'm trying to overly simplify this, which I hope I can do a decent job, if you do not get enough oxygen to the eye or the retina or the macula, then your body counters with, what can we do to get more oxygen to the macula? And the only solution is growing brand new blood vessels across the back of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is those new blood vessels, they block out the visual field. They get in between the macula and the retina and your vision. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
And so when you start growing a bunch of new blood vessels, it just chokes your eye to death. Then the other thing is what, and this is maybe a separate deal here, but it's also equally important. What do you do when all the blood vessels just start rupturing and breaking? Well, you get all this ooey gooey leaking blood, so they give shots to weld it together or a laser. And so hers may be called wet macular degeneration.
Yeah, she's got wet in one eye, I think, and dry in the other.
Well, which eye is her best eye?
Right.
Can she see you just fine with that?
Well, not just fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's still blurry. The left eye is basically, I would say, legally blind. You have to just get right in front of it for her to even see anything.
I have been down this road about 25 million times, so let me just tell you what I'm going to recommend, okay?
Okay.
There's one supplement that I use from Standard Process. It's called Cruciferous Complete. It's going to... I'm sorry. I said that way too fast, didn't I?
You taped it.
Okay, you taped it? Cruciferous Complete.
Yes, she already takes six a day. She's been doing that for 2 or 3 years.
So how much is she able to walk and move and go outside and do yard work every day?
Well, not as much as she would like, because she's afraid of falling because she took a bad fall. And, you know, so there's that fear.
Gotcha. Exciting. Is she doing any type of exercises right now to greatly improve her balance or her physical strength?
No, she's not. She did physical therapy after the fall for a while, but, you know, not now. And I've told her that. Extremely important, even if to walk and play.
It's not like she's a six-year-old where we can say, let's go out and kick the soccer ball or go play frisbee or let's go for a hike in the woods. That's not the way it is. But and see, that's part of the problem. You can't just tell a person, well, I'd like you to do some home exercises. Well, if they were capable of doing it, they'd probably do it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And so this is a real tough deal, because maybe the number one predictor of all time is how long a person walks the earth is how physically strong they are. And it takes no time at all to lose your strength. It just doesn't take any time.
I know.
Well, what would you like me to do?
Well,
you tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do the best I can.
Yeah. I was just curious about that complement cascade, and if there was anything about that we might be able to help improve.
In order to do that, that involves she's got to be in a positive balance where she's growing muscle at a faster rate than she's losing muscle.
Okay.
So I don't see how we can tap into any of that stuff unless she's, and I'm just going to make up some things here, so just play along with me like I know what I'm talking about, which maybe I don't. But if she wakes up in the morning, she might go and get a big drink of water. It could be a glass of water.
Right.
And then from there, she's going to say, okay, I've got to get the blood moving and flowing. I'm going to go outside and do yard work for 30 minutes. And after that, I'm going to go for a 30-minute walk. And then after lunch, she's going to do like a full-body workout where she takes small dumbbells and does presses and curls. And just.
Yeah.
But you've got to put enough stress on the human body to increase strength. You got to give the body a reason to grow new muscle, new arteries, new veins, and new nerves. And so without physical labor, that's one of the reasons why I just almost think it's a disaster for men to ever retire, because when they do, they go down a hill really fast. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
We need these continual challenges. And so if we could get her to start growing muscles, you know, she might even try taking just a little bit of creatine to see if it gives her a tremendous boost in energy. And the other reason I'm saying that is, you know as well as I do, if a person's just flat out exhausted, you could say, Mom, isn't it a great idea to work out? Or you want to go to do this with me? Let's go for a walk. They don't have any energy.
Right.
But when somebody has energy, you can't stop them from getting up and doing something.
Yeah.
I had a lady the other day that came to see me. She said, you'll never believe what I did. I said, what's that? She said, I took a broom and I swept all the cobwebs from my corners of the bedroom, and I cleaned out my closet. And, you know, if you don't know the background story, you'd think, that's just normal. What's the big deal? Well, she's been in bed for 2 years, and she hadn't had the strength to even sweep the cobwebs from the corners of her ceiling. Does that make sense?
Wow.
And so she's rejoicing like, oh, my goodness, I have enough energy to clean my closet now.
Right.
Or wash one dish. But that's a starting point. That's good.
Yeah.
And so the hope is getting your mama moving, but I would really try to talk her into eating ocean fish. Sardines are absolutely the best. There's nothing better.
Okay. Okay. I'll tell her that.
Does she like to eat salmon or flounder or halibut?
Yes, she does.
You know what I think? This is just my opinion, but if the Pasadena Kid really loved all the listeners, he would go to Alaska right now and catch a mess of a halibut for us to share with us.
Yeah, that wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, that would be nice. And so I would have, if your mother could eat one salad at a day, that would go a long way to giving her a greater nutrient density.
Yeah, and she usually does. She really does eat pretty well.
Oh, good. Good.
So
the one thing that's so damaging to the macula once you start to lose it is just refined sugar. So I don't mind if your mom eats sugar. It's called a frozen cherry or an apple or a bowl of strawberries or blueberries, that sort of thing.
Right. She's good about not eating sugar much better than
good deal.
Yeah.
Does she have anything that really intrigues her or interests her that she loves to study? And I mean, is she like addicted to reading the Bible or studying?
Yes, but now she can't read it because she can't see it well enough.
Well, does she have a computer where she can click on videos or something like that?
She does not like computers at all.
That is not what I want her to say.
I know.
Well, what are we going to do then if she doesn't like that stuff? We got to have something to stimulate the growth of new brain cells. And, you know, the only reason I'm even saying this is, number one, I don't know how long she's going to live. Maybe her name is written in the book of life to be 102. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would like her to be able to enjoy and have pleasure.
Me too.
And to me, having pleasure is just going outside and listening to, can she hear birds sing?
Oh, yeah, she... She goes outside and she takes her dog on a walk and all that kind of thing.
It's oh, good.
Just around the yard.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I personally think she's got to have some project that she works on every day.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't know what that would look like for an 87-year-old sweet, adorable mother, but there's got to be something. Can she crochet?
Nope. She used to.
Does she have a coloring book that she can color?
No.
Why are you saying no so much to me for? You seem like you're really good at saying no. I want to hear yes.
I know.
Is she there listening right now?
No.
Is she listening on the radio right now?
No. She
No, I'm just joking. Okay, so... The key is you've got to get the body moving more than what she's currently moving it.
Right.
And we might want to play with sardines two or three times a week, eggs, chicken. I wouldn't have any problem with her having a delicious steak every so often.
Okay.
But she needs about 2 to 3 hours of work every day. Maybe maybe you can bring all your laundry over to her house and let her do it for you.
Boy, that'd be nice.
And she says, "Sweetheart, I didn't know that you had red and white mixed together. I can't help it if they're pink now." Sounds like something I would do, right? And so to take care of that cascade, though, you've got to be in a positive growth energy status. So,
So
there's only two ways to grow new brain cells. One is called exercise. That means you've got to do more than what you're currently doing. It doesn't have to be horrible. It could be simple stuff. She's got to restore her balance, though.
Yeah.
And I realize the visual field has so much to do with neurological balance, it's just not even funny. So we've got to find a way to counter that. But she's not going to get better unless we can get more blood flow to the brain and the eyes and get more energy. So you could try giving her a little bit of creatine. You could make her popsicles with mangoes, coconut milk, and creatine to see if that gives her a boost.
Okay.
Throw them in the blender and then pour them in the popsicle molds.
Right.
You could try to tell her these are Häagen-Dazs bars and she'll probably eat them. It's just mango and coconut.
Yeah. Well, okay, that gives me some good ideas. I sure appreciate it.
You betcha. I wish I could help more.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I mean, all this goes to illustrate a point that nobody ever makes it off this earth alive in one piece. You just don't. And every human being, they have their own sets of strengths. They have their own sets of weaknesses. And so if there's a weakness toward the eyes, boy, you have to really use your energy to try to stop that downward spiral. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. One thing, that other gentleman, and I know you didn't say it, but I'm saying it, that you are also a very good chiropractor and doing good to come to you. And the other thing is, could you spell creatine? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. I'll spell it as soon as you hang up. I'll give you plenty of time.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you for your kind words. Okay, creatine. That is spelled capital C-R-E-A-T-I-N-E. Creatine. I think the second word is monohydrate, and you want the one that's micronized. That's what most of the research has been done on. Good morning. How are you today? Uh-oh, they hung up on me. I can't believe that. No, that's all right. Okay, if I didn't push the button correctly, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257, in case you want to call back. I think I cleared the line for you. Yeah, I think I had the buttons pushed right. Hope so. Creatine is a substance that... let me start over here. The things that I talk about, by and large, they're found in nature. So if you ask me a question, you said, okay, where and how do we get creatine naturally? Well, it's found in meat. Usually seafood and red meat from a cow is the best source of it. All righty, did I get you now? Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Did I just hang up on you?
No, not me. Oh,
okay. Well, I would never do that. I want you to know, ever.
That's good. Okay, I have a question about my husband. When he perspires, and it can even be like on his pillow, his shirts, it's like orange looking.
Well, that is probably talking about the liver or the kidneys then.
Oh. I know he drinks lots of water, very, very active. He's 72.
I like all those things. But you're saying the color of what comes out of his skin is kind of an orange color?
Yes, he can even, like, I mean, for 20 years, like, he can bleach shirts out, it seems like. He works outside a lot in his garden.
Does he feel really good otherwise?
I think he does. I mean, he's not a complainer ever.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe I should hang around him more. I like hearing people that are positive. Have you ever been around a person that complains so much you think, you know what,
yes.
I think I hear my phone ring and I have to go check on that. Talk to you later, bye.
Yeah.
Okay, so is he taking any blood pressure medication at all?
No, he does not.
Does he take any drugs, whether it's prescription or over the counter?
He took Flomax for a long time. I don't think he does that anymore. And he takes what's the one for arthritis? Meloxicam.
Well, and what I would do is, if I had my laptop up and running right now, I would go to drugs.com and I would type in meloxicam or Flomax, just as two examples. And I would ask the question, is there any possibility this could turn your urine or your sweat orange?
Okay.
And, you know, the National Institutes of Health, so often if I'm stumped on something, I'll say, well, let me ask the computer here. And sure enough, you'll find out that 17% of all men that take that drug, it causes orange sweat. And so you can find out almost anything today.
Okay.
So you can go, you could just type the question, is there any possibility that taking meloxicam may cause my husband's sweat to turn the pillowcase orange?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they called this morning. It's like the pillowcase.
And then you'll read the article, woman grows two horns out of her head on meloxicam, and you go, well, that's not relevant.
Right.
And then you could say, person hallucinates that there's rainbows and unicorns everywhere. Well, that doesn't match my husband. But you could probably find something to say yay or nay. But if he's taking a drug, those drugs are historically hard on the lining of the gut, the kidneys, and the liver.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to bring you down or disappoint you. It's just the way it is.
Well, I listen to you all the time, and you're always talking about, you know, iron, too much iron. I was thinking maybe he needs to go, you know, give his blood to a vampire or something so he can...
Well,
you know, maybe he's got too much iron.
I think Count Dracula is listening right now. So if you'll give me your phone number, I'll make sure that he gets to the house later today. But expect him a little bit after dark, from what I understand about Dracula.
Right.
That's really a brilliant idea. Has he been to the doctor to have any labs done?
He goes every year, and he got his blood work done about a month ago, and it's like everything's fine.
Well, how do you know everything's perfect?
Well, I don't believe it. I mean,
are you just going on somebody's word, though?
No, that's just the standard answer and my 90-year-old mother gets.
They did not give you the test results and say these are all your values. They just said everything.
No, they
looks
did.
Like,
oh, they did? Did because I asked him to ask, and you know,
smart.
I really don't know what to look for besides what you bring up.
Well, I can tell you a few things that you might look for. You might look for a platelet count.
Okay.
And so if the platelets go above probably 270, 280, I'd say that's one sign of inflammation.
Okay.
The other one that I would look for, it's one called SEGS, S-E-G-S. When that starts hitting about 67, 68, 69, 70, that means there's some problem in the body. And then when the lymphocytes start hitting 22 and below, that's a sign of oxidation. So he's rusting out if that's the case. So that would be one clue right there.
Okay.
I would look at the one called GFR. That's going to tell me how efficient it is. So if his GFR is right at 100, I'd say, well, just scratch everything I said. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's fine. But if his GFR is like in the 60s or 70s, that's significant kidney damage. So at least just kind of look at those and tell me if you see anything that catches your attention.
Okay. Thank you for your word.
You're sure welcome. Give my best to your husband.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I wonder if we could start serving him some hibiscus tea today to help his kidneys, and some dandelion root tea, and maybe a cup of green tea. And let me see. What else can we do? We might want to give him some magnesium. And maybe a little bit of baking soda, too. Okay. Back to what I was talking about just for a brief moment. Actually, I'm looking at the clock. I have like exactly... Let's try it again. Good morning. We have 1 minute to go.
Oh, chlorella tablets. I have the package. I ordered it from last week. How do we take them?
In the mouth.
I mean, do you just chew them up?
Well, they're probably going to be too hard to chew up. I think you'd be... I don't want you to crack a tooth or lose a filling over it. But are they tablets that are pretty hard, like compressed tablets?
I haven't opened it, Dr. Morgan. They just arrived. Chlorella tablets, raw, broken.
Well, if you drop it on your foot, it may break a toe. It's so heavy. What you would do is you would practice taking chlorella, and there's several ways you can do it. Number one, you probably should try just taking, you know, like about 4 or 5 tablets on an empty stomach and just see what happens.
Just swallow them.
Yes, ma'am, exactly. Okay. And so, like, the next day, if you tell me, and hopefully this is not crude, but if you tell me your bowel movements are of much better quality, I'm going, okay, 6 tablets is all it takes. That's good.
Let me quickly tell you that my husband's brother passed away, fast onset Alzheimer's. You told us about Spanish sage. He has had markers. I've been seeing it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And we ordered it. He started taking it. And one drop a day. And Dr. Morgan, I'm not kidding. I have my husband returning to me.
My goodness! What a beautiful story. I never expected anybody to call me and tell me this today. That's great.
Oh, we are so blessed.
So you just use the Spanish sage drops, right?
Yes.
Wait a second. I gotta write a note here. Very highly intelligent, sweet woman followed my advice, and her husband has asked her out for a date. This is working out great.
So precious. This thought process. I've just been seeing markers, you know, for about a couple of years.
But there's been an improvement, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
Well, you tell me what drug can do that. None.
I know it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's
thanks.
It's a miracle, and that's the main thing I wanted to share with
well,
you.
Well, you just totally made my day. Thank you so much.
Well, you make ours.
I really do appreciate you very much. Thanks for getting in.
Oh, we love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, you're listening to KBGS FM 90.3 Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.